5. It's on page 652 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. One scholar called Isaiah the fifth evangelist, or the fifth gospel. And maybe if when you hear this reading, you will know why. Apart from the fact that someone had to make tenure. All right, so this is Isaiah 25, beginning at the sixth verse. Listen for the good news of the gospel from this prophet. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you. That was almost so nice I couldn't handle it. Oh, it's rough. It's a rough day. The puns are bad. The sermon's worse. All right. So it's good to be together. Before we devolve any further, let me offer a prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time, for all the beauty that is today. We thank you for each person and all that they have done to make this Easter such a special one. The committees and the musicians, it truly is a wonderful time to celebrate our Lord and Savior, that he's risen from the dead and gives us new life. He is the Lord of time. He offers us this time to be together. Help us to do something good with it in his name. Amen. Well, it is April Fool's Day, and I feel like maybe you've worried unnecessarily. I don't have any big tricks planned. There's no ta-da here. Don't worry about that. I didn't think that would be very nice. Because I feel like I've gotten to know you pretty well, and you don't really take kindly to that sort of thing. So nothing like that. I'll save that for next week. But what I do want to share with you is something that happened to myself, to Kathy Grant, in the worship committee, and to Tara, as we were preparing for Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Holy Week, everything that entails. You know, us church-type folks, we sort of get in a silo. It's kind of like a silo, and we don't see much else. We're probably not great drivers during the time, a couple weeks before Easter. Probably not great drivers. Probably don't eat well-balanced meals. Probably don't make a lot of eye contact. There's kind of a thin haze of Cheeto dust sort of falls on all of us because we're in the silo of getting ready for Easter. So on March 22nd, I want to tell you, I got this email. And if you have an email address, there's one thing for certain, you're going to get email. Second thing is probably for certain, you're going to get scammed. Somebody is going to tell you that they are in Turkey and they need money, and could you please wire it to them? And they might even be across the table for you at lunch. Are you in Turkey? Do you need money? No, I'm right here. Okay, that's a scam. That happens. So we got an email, came through our a very affectionately titled email address at the church. I believe it's called church@fpc, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it got forwarded to me, and it said, FYI. And I'm savvy enough to know that means for your information. So I read below. It said, from Valdine Anderson. That is an unusual first name, Valdine. First time I've ever heard Valdine. The subject is the Pembina Trails Voice Choir Organization coming to perform at your church on April 22nd, 2018. Now, I have to tell you, my interest was piqued. The Pembina Trails Choir, Voice Choir Organization. They need another word in there. They need to get tabernacle in there somewhere. The Pembina Trails Voice Choir Tabernacle Organization Institution. They get more. So anyway, I was interested and bordering on worried. I kept reading. Dear First Presbyterian Church of Brandon, I would say now I'm halfway to worried. It's been a few months since I've spoken with you about our choirs singing in your church. Full-blown worry. I'm thinking, what? I've been in the silo. I've missed something. This is bad. Someone's done something, and I have no idea what's going on. I wanted to touch base with you, Valdine continues. I wanted to touch base with you as the date gets closer and confirm that the two children's choirs who are touring southwestern Manitoba will sing in your morning church service and perform a short concert for you that same evening. I have passed worry, and I'm well on to anxiety. Now, some of you are very smart, and you've already caught a little hint. But I had no hint. I did not see the hint or the context clues, because I was well into worry and anxiety and fear. I tried to be cool. I know. So I said, "This is the first that I'm hearing about this. I'll send this around to see if it's legit." So a couple days go on. We talk. Tara talks, I talk, Kathy talks, we're talking. A couple days later, I said, "This seems a little weird." And Tara says, "I don't know anything about this. I'm pretty sure if somebody scheduled this, we would know about this." Kathy says, "I don't know anything about this. Maybe we've been data mined." That means like they search and find out about you, you know. It's like when you get the call that says, you pick hello, grandma, and you go, "Scott?" Like, "Yeah, that's right, I'm Scott. And I need a little money." Like that's kind of like data mining. So by the 24th, 2 days later, I said, "This is weird and creepy." Kathy said, "Maybe we should lock the doors on the 22nd, which I thought was funny. Kathy's great. Well, if you just wait a couple more days, Tara saves the day. Yay, Tara. We're filled with Tara and amazement. She said, "They meant to send that to First Presbyterian Church of Brandon, Manitoba." Oh my gosh, Manitoba, Canada. If you have not vacationed in Manitoba, Canada, you have not been to First Presbyterian Church, Brandon, Manitoba, Canada. And I felt like I got fished into the April Fool's joke, the best one ever of 2018, because I was like, so freaked out about how we were going to host two choirs and have an evening service, and what are we going to do, and do what responsibilities do we have? And you know, sometimes these choirs, they travel, and they're on a program of every 4 years, and I haven't been here for 4 years. I've only been here for 3 years, so maybe this has happened. And Val Dean, we all know Val Dean. She's great. This is going to be great, and I don't want to ruin Val Dean and the Pembrose Choir Tabernacle Institution coming like they always do every 4 years. So I kind of freaked out. And I kind of think that that happened in the Mark reading today, because it's the first day of the week and the women go to the tomb and they bring with them anxiety and they bring with them some anger. And they might bring with them some profound sadness or shame. And they go, they're not able to pick up on the clues. And so their heads are at this point. They say, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" They're on a very technical level. Who will roll away the stone? Salome says, "I can't roll the stone away." Maybe Mary and I can roll it away. Maybe Mary and I can roll it away. Maybe there's a guard there. Maybe they could roll it away. Maybe all four of us could roll it away. They're stuck in that spot of anxiety and fear and maybe some anger or shame. And so they're not able to get past the third line. When they get there, the stone is already moved away. And maybe they're, who moved the stone away? Well, who did it? It was here, but I was expecting, they're missing the point. And then they go in, and as they enter the tomb, they see a young man dressed in a white robe, it says, sitting on the right side. They're alarmed, and this young man, presumably an angel, although it never says that, says, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him, but go." And they probably can't even hear anymore. That's too much. They brought with them all these feelings, all these thoughts, all these anxieties. They can't hear past the but. They're stuck. And we bring to this day our own doubts, our own concerns, our own fears. And those are all good if they serve a purpose. Doubt is really good if it keeps our faith from crystallizing, hardening, becoming certainty or idolatry. Doubt can play a role in our faith. Doubt can keep our faith fresh. Doubt can keep our faith questioning and searching. But when the doubts, when the fears, when the anxieties overwhelm us and they swamp us and it becomes unbelief or bitterness or despair, that's no good. And so we want to not miss the clue. Don't miss the clue, the Manitoba clue in this passage. When the angel says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." That's the Manitoba-ness of this passage. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, just like he told you that he was. I want to show you a picture. This is a just from Google Maps. This is a picture of the map between Louisville, kind of toward the top of that map. I know you can see it very well. Louisville, that's how you say that word. That's where I went to seminary. And if you go to seminary in Louisville, you probably hear something about Thomas Merton, or you're even forced to go visit the Abbey of Gethsemane. That's where the little red tag is at the bottom. It's only about an hour by car, 50 minutes by fast car. But go ahead to the next slide. This is actually just from downtown Louisville. It's one of those fancy plaques that you can get if you pay enough money. And it looks like Thomas Merton was born in 1915 and did something in 1968. So he is officially dead. Right, good. Dead theologian. Hashtag dead theologians. There he is, looking quite monkish. He's a Cistercian Trappist monk there. That's a good picture, but this next one is a favorite of mine. I think it was Patrick Hart took that picture, Thomas Merton said, "Well, this looks like the old hillbilly who knows where the still is," which I think is pretty great. And that picture, it kind of looks like Kentucky really kind of got its claws into him, doesn't it? He kind of looks like a farmer who would talk about his tractor and different things that you talk about with tractors. I don't know anything about that. This is my favorite picture of him, though, him in his hermitage, thinking and pondering and contemplating and working on probably some writings and things like that. This next picture is the front of a book called He Is Risen, a little book that I bought for $1, and it was totally worth $1.50, so I felt good about that. But this is what he says. It's just this little essay about this passage in Mark. He says, "Christ is risen. Christ lives. Christ is the Lord of the living and the dead. He is the Lord of history. Christ is the Lord of a history that moves. He not only holds the beginning and the end in his hands, but he is in history with us, walking ahead of us to where we are going. He is not always in the same place." As I have read and preached on this passage, I have missed the clue, just like all the disciples did, in my own worry or frustration or sadness. I have missed the clue too. That clue where the angel says, "He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." I've missed that clue. I think all the disciples did. I read that essay from Thomas Merton and I thought, "What? Jesus said he was going to Galilee? No." Yes. Back in chapter 14. But I know why everybody missed it. Because Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said to them, "You will all become deserters." And that struck them. I mean, that struck them more than a staff would strike the sheep. That broke their hearts, probably. They weren't able to hear what he said next. "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." He did say it. I did miss the clue, and so did Peter, and so did everybody. Jesus did say he was going ahead to Galilee. Well, what does that mean? What is that Galilee? Galilee is where he did his work. Galilee is where he healed. Galilee is where he cast out demons. He's going back to Galilee because there's more work to do. And he wants us, you and I, to join in his work. Christ is the Lord of the living and the dead. Christ is the Lord of history, a history that moves. He's not in the same place all the time. He's moved on to Galilee, and he wants us to hear the good news of the gospel that he is not only here, but he has left here and gone on to Galilee, and we need to join him. We need to join him in his work. Now, friends and neighbors, I'll tell you, I love church. I figured out how to make it my job. That's how much I loved it. I liked the clothes mostly, because I heard they were not hot. I love the church, and I love the church when it's full like today, and it's a high Sunday, and we're all together, and it feels great. And I love the church when it's empty, when no one's here. It's special. But what if Jesus is telling us today, I am not here. I am risen, and I've gone ahead of you to Galilee. What if Jesus is challenging us to find him in the world that he so loves and join with him in his work? What if that's the message that we've missed, the clue, the Manitoba that we didn't pick up on because we were trapped in our own stuff? We didn't hear that Christ has gone on ahead of us to do the work. We've got to figure out, what work is it we're called to do? Now, I'm particularly helpful in this area because I'm good at making lists, and I like to make alphabetical lists. And so I present to you a few items that you could get busy with. If you feel called to letter A, that might be for AA. You might feel called to join in with their ministry or figure out how our church can be more hospitable to people in a 12-step program. We have lots of folks that meet there. That might be your calling. That might be your Galilee. Or it might be letter B for Feed the Bay. That's coming up on the 15th. Don't be sad on April 15th. It's not just for the tax man. It's Feed the Bay. Get a blue t-shirt, join in with that, or join in with the hunger ministry. Or maybe it's letter C for you, C for Cedar Kirk. You might want to go and be a nurse for a week. You might want to find out more about their program. You might want to make a gift to letter C, their capital campaign. You might want to contribute, letter C, contribute to somebody going to camp. That might be your thing. Or if that's not your thing, maybe it's D for discernment. You got to figure out what your thing is. Or maybe it's letter D for discipleship. Maybe you want to go to a class, figure out where Galilee is for you, or teach a class. There are people, God bless them, that teach middle school Sunday school. Pray for them, that's in the P section, but you might want to relieve them, that's in the R's. E might be for Echo, F might be for Family Promise, G might be for get some stamps and stationery and give them to a homebound person, a shut-in, so that they could get involved with correspondence and they might write a letter to someone. H is for heifer, I is for, I don't know, think of it, make it up, do it yourself. There's lots of letters in the alphabet, there's lots of options, there's lots of ways that Christ is in Galilee working, and we as his church are called out of the tomb and into the world that he so loved, to partner with him. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And he is not here. He is in Galilee working. And I want to go work with him, and I know you do too. Amen.